Blog Talk Radio. without you. No.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody.
Nothing without you.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. You were listening to Jason Nelson singing, I'm nothing without you. I'm nothing without the Lord in our lives. We are nothing without God in our lives. But when we put God at the forefront of our lives, then we'll become children of a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scriptures say, for in him we live. In who? In God we live and move and we have our being. I don't know why people think that they can just do it on their own. Ah, we're nothing without God. Without him, we could do nothing. Without him, we would fail. But with God, all things are possible to him that believes. Do we have any believers out there today? Well, if you are a believer, then guess what? You ought to be walking in authority. You ought to be walking in power. You ought to be exercising the gifts that God has so freely given to each and every one of us. He said he gives according to our several abilities. Therefore, we have no need to fret. We have no need to worry about others. We need to focus on what God has given us. Has he deposited anything in your spirit? Do you have any desires? I don't mean the desire to go lay out on the beach, a desire to ride in a Rolls Royce. No. Our subject this week, our destiny focus this week, is desiring spiritual gifts. If we can tap into the spirit realm, if we can tap into the spiritual gifts, we'll be like they were in the book of Acts, how they broke bread together, how they were on one accord, how they went and sold their possessions and laid it at the feet of the apostles. And the Bible said no land was in lack. No families was in lack. They were in lack of nothing because guess what? They had commonality. They were all on the same page. Oh, if we can get on the same page. If every man can work in the gift and the calling that God has assigned specifically for you. Oh, I'm excited about this thing. I'm excited about it because guess what? God gave it to me. He said, guess what? I want some gifts to be working. I want some gifts to be operating. I want some gifts to be manifested in my body. Who is the body? We are the body of Christ. And I'm excited today we have a young man, hallelujah, that has been preaching and teaching this gospel for a long time. He's been saved, sanctified, and set apart as a tool to be used for the edifying, hallelujah, to impart wisdom and knowledge that God has given him. He's trying to enrich our lives. Amen. So we're not going to go into no a long monologue or what have you. We're going to get right on into the word. But just for you all that are on, and we'll come back later. Tomorrow we'll have Bishop Jesse Grant with us out of Chicago, Illinois. He'll be speaking for us on tomorrow. And these men of God, I'm excited about the men. I'm excited about the men stepping forward. Amen. And he'll be ministering on tomorrow, talking about the same subject matter, desiring spiritual gifts. But we have Dr. Winston, District Elder, Dr. Winston L. Singleton of Greater Enrichment Ministries of Los Angeles, California, with us on this evening. And I tell you, I don't want to take no time away from him. He's an excellent, profound, anointed teacher. But he loved God's people and he loved this word. Hallelujah. He don't need no introduction. I call him the alphabet name. He has so many degrees, I get confused. So I don't even get into the master's and a PhD and a DD and A. I don't get into all of that. Hallelujah. Because when you meet him, you just recognize immediately that the Spirit of God rests on this young man. It abides in his spirit. Amen. So with no further ado, we thank God for Sister Ruby today, our co-host, and we just like to give a shout out to all of our callers and listeners, especially those that call in faithfully every day and listen to the Word of God, and even if they miss, they go back into the archives. We want to say to you today that we appreciate you. We appreciate your sweet fellowship and your tremendous support, and we love you for supporting us, amen, as we continue to spread this gospel, amen, amen. And even our listeners that's in the chat room and those that listen live on the internet and those that go back and click the episodes to hear them, we thank God for you all. Surely, we don't take you for granted. We appreciate it. Amen. And that is why God has us here. Where somebody, he said his gospel going to be preached to every creature, every nation. So every day, this telecast is available to someone to hear the word of God. So with no further ado, I'm going to ask Sister Ruby to open up with the word of prayer. And the next voice you'll hear will be Dr. Winston L. Singleton of Great Enrichment Ministry, Los Angeles, California. Sister Ruby, God bless you.
God bless you. Praise the Lord, everybody that's on the line. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, to allow us to come back another day. We're humble and we're excited about you bring on this broadcast to bring your word from heaven down on the earth to your royal family of baptized believers in Jesus Christ and your precious people. If I said or done anything, Lord, I just want to repent because I don't want the word to be hindered, stumbling blocks because of me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to receive it, whatever I said or done or didn't do, Lord Jesus, because we wanted sure. We wanted to be holy, and we don't want no interference and no setback from the man of God that's bringing the word that you have instilled with him for your people at this appointed time. Dr. Singleton, we just thank you have put so much anointing and power and teaching and structure and love into the word of God through him in his heart. We just thank you that you allow him to come on this broadcast. And when a vaccinated say, yes, I can, and yes, I will. Woo, Lord, we thank you, and we praise you. Hallelujah. We give you a praise for Vandis Bernard, the founding host of this broadcast. We ask you to bless her. Keep your angels encamped about her, Lord. You know the desires of her heart, and you know what she stands in need of, because you wonderfully and marvelous made us. And you said you know the hairs on our head. You know what's in our heart. Where we live, you know our families that you assign us to, and we just thank you. We thank you for our beautiful listeners and chat room, and come on every day to support your radio broadcast, this Block Talk Radio. We thank you for leading and directing and guiding them, because we don't know without you, we can't do anything without you. we will fail. So I'm turning over this segment to Winston Singleton of Los Angeles, California. Pray the Lord, man of God.
Thank you very much, and praise the Lord, everyone. We're indeed excited and happy to be a part of this wonderful family of New Destiny Ministries. I thank the Lord for this moment that we're able to share and break bread concerning of the Word of God. I thank God for just blessing me with a mind to want to be able to share. I want to say something. This is one of my mottos. I don't only want to just show you what I know. I want to share with you what I know. Because if I only show you what I know, then I can manipulate what you need to hear and know from God. But if I have the mindset to share with you what I know, whatever essence, whatever aspirations, whatever goal setting is in my mindset, I will be able to share with others, and others can feel the passion that I have, because you know what I'm talking about. And you can see that I want you to be a part of what I'm doing, because there's a leader that says out there in one of the books, leadership books, he says people don't want to know what you know until they know that you care. And the problem is today in the body of Christ, most people don't feel that you have their best interest at heart. Some people feel that spiritual leaders only want to know one thing: how much money you have in your wallet, how much money you have in your bank account. But, amen, I thank God that we don't look at the money, because life does not consist of the abundance that man possess. But life, all of life is all about peace, joy, and righteousness over in the Holy Ghost. So, therefore, it's imperative, saints of God and friends, that when God uses us to be a beacon, to be a light to the world, that we don't give this what you call a hidden agenda to people. Because guess what? People know people. And because we were given the spirit of man, the man has that spirit too. But the thing is, what we have to do is exemplify Christ in our life. The Bible said that we should let our light so shine among men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. The Bible also gave reference that we must be an example of the believer in words and deeds and conversation and faith, purity, and charity. We must be able to be an example one to another. The problem today is, I see in the church, someone asked me a question. They said, "Elder, why is there so much sickness and so much dis-ease in our congregations?" And when the person said that, the scripture came to me in the book of James, chapter number 5, where it says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Or the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The reason why there's not enough healing in our congregations, the reason why it's not enough deliverance in our congregations, is because we lack the trust one for another. You remember back in the book of Acts where Peter was put into prison in chapter number 12, and King Herod killed one of the apostles, and he thought it pleased the people to kill, and it was after Peter. And they were going to kill Peter, but they had to wait for the Passover, where they celebrated like what we call Easter. And they were, after the festival was going to be over, they were going to try to kill Peter. But I'm going to let you know, when the Bible said, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." The Bible said, "We're troubled on every side, but yet in distress. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." If God calls you, there's no devil in hell that can take you out. Because when God got you into his hands, he will not get rid of you. I heard David say, "When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, my foot almost slipped." But how many know that God will keep you from falling? And he will present unto you what you need to do to be enhanced, to be a blessing, and to let the enemy know that God, if God has you, the Bible says, if God be for you, he's more than the whole world against you, as well as if God be for you, who can be against you? So therefore, in the body of Christ, we should not fear. Because why? If God is with us, no one can hurt us. Now, let me just go back to that, chapter number 12, when Peter was put into prison, and he was locked up. Literally, not mentally, not psychologically, but physically. He had chains upon him. He had shackles upon him. I heard the song sometime that sung sometime before the broadcast, breaking the chains. Some of us cannot break our chains because some of the chains is within our mind. Some of the chains is in our psyche. Some of the chains is within our mind. The Bible said in the abundance of the heart flows the issues. In the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But look what the Bible said in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17, verse 9. He said, the heart is deceitful. That's our mind. He said, our heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? But look what he said in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, verse 5. He says, thou trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means your brain, your mind. And lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge God, and he shall direct your path. That's what happened, amen, in the book of Acts, chapter number 12. When Peter was in prison, he was locked up. But he wasn't tied up in his mind. He knew he was locked up, and he thought that his time of departure was at hand. But the Bible made mention of, making a long story short, that the saints were back at the house praying without ceasing. See, we need some prayer warriors to pray for us without ceasing. I heard a song say, they prayed for me, and they had me on their mind. I'm so glad they prayed for me. He said, the song went on to say, I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. See, you got to have people praying for you to get something to happen. One can chase 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to the flight. The Bible said if two or three touching together on one thing on the earth, I will be in the midst. So when Peter was in prison, the saints of God was praying without ceasing. And the Bible said that a light shined into the prison. And an angel appeared, and he came and he touched, amen, Peter on the side, and the shackles fell. And then he told him to get up, and he girded himself and went out. And you know the story, found out he was loosed from the prison. What you're talking about? Today we need to come together, saints. There's too much division in our churches. We're dealing with immediate family and not the body of Christ. The Bible says that, amen, that we're a body, that we're of the household. He said, have a special love for the household of faith. Then Jesus said in the Bible, he said, a new commandment I leave unto you, that ye love one another as I have also loved you. He said, by this love, all men will know that you are my disciples or followers because you have love one for another. But the body of Christ is lacking. Yes, we're going to get on spiritual gifts today briefly, but I just want to let you know before we can even get something done, we got to come together. So you were not renowned that the Holy Ghost, when it came down, before it came, there had to be togetherness. The Bible says in chapter number 2 of Acts, he said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the height of the festival of Pentecost that commemorated the death angel passing over them, as well as giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. They rehearsed those stories. They rehearsed those scriptures in those festivals. But in the height of the festival downstairs, there was a party going on upstairs. And the Bible said when the day of Pentecost was fully come at the height of the festival, he said they was all on one place in one accord in one mindset. And he said suddenly, he said there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And it appeared unto them clothing of tongues as a fire. And, amen, it was upon everybody in that place. And the Bible said that, amen, they said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues. But that wasn't the thing I'm looking at, because with gifts working in the church, with the power of God working in unity, there must be demonstration. Let me reiterate that. When the gifts are working in the church, there must be demonstration. As my father told me, and I'm telling you, without demonstration, there is no expectation. Let me quote that again. Without demonstration, there is no expectation. That's why the gifts have to work in the church, because demonstration show forth the power of God. And then once God show you and get your attention, then he'll begin to work with your spirit. The problem is today we don't see demonstration in the church. What we see is flesh moving in the church. What we see is intentions working in the church. We see agendas working in the church. But God said, I want my spirit to work in the church. Because, well, I'm going to tell you something. And some of us, amen, have allowed God to be in our midst because we dedicated. I just came from a dedication last week, and it was so marvelous. And what came to my mind, God is taking me somewhere right now. I began to look at the demonstration of the dedication. But it took my mind back to the Bible said we are built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. But let me go on further a little bit here. I want you to turn with me to a passage of Scripture coming by the way of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, verse 14. But I'm going to read verses number 11 to verse number 16. I want you to turn with me now to 2 Chronicles. We're going to have chapter number 7. I'm going to start at verse 11. Because before we can give gifts work in our church, we got to make sure that God is in the house. If God is not in your sanctuary, if God is not in your multi-purpose room, if God is not in your breakout room, if God is not into the hotel room that you're renting out for a church, if God is not in that edifice that you have put forth to God, then God's name is not in that place, and he will not dwell. And if he's not dwelling, there's no spirit. And if there's no spirit, there's no gifts. So in order for the gifts to work in the church, God's spirit must be in there and God's name must be in that house. But that house must be dedicated to the Lord. So here we go now, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. I'm going to start reading at verse 11. It says here, it reads as thus. We're talking about 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, starting at verse 11. It says, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house he prosperously effected. Verse number 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Number 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Number 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Number 15, now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Number 16, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually or continually. Saints of God and friends, some of us need to rededicate our house back to God. Some of your houses were once whore houses. Some of the houses that you worship in were once crack houses. Some of your houses were at one time clubs and other kind of meetings, what was going on. But God is telling me today, some of you need to rededicate your house back to God. To let them know that God's name has to be in that house. If God's name is not in his house, if his spirit is not in his house, therefore his protective power is not in the house. His angels are not in the house. And spiritual gifts cannot work in that house. God said, I want you to rededicate your place back. Some of you never rededicated in the first place. Some of you just set a president in your house. God said, I want you to rededicate the house. Now, you don't have to do a formal rededication where you have the congregation repeating back to you. You can just have a meeting where you can anoint your place and have the saints of God to either hold hands or be on one accord and begin to get those spirits out of that house, to begin to rebuke the foul environment out of the house and said, in the name of Jesus, this house is dedicated to the Lord for prayer, is dedicated for sacrifice of the individuals, and that when I come in from that parking lot, I'm coming into his court with thanksgiving and coming into his house with thanksgiving and praise. And when the praise goes up, the blessings will come down. When prophecy goes forth in the house, they will come to pass. So some of you need to rededicate yourself back in that house. And some of you need to dedicate that altar in the front of your church or the front of your edifice for the Lord. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain help and strength in the time of need. God said, I want you to rededicate. Because why? When my spirit is in the house, I can allow the spiritual gifts to flow in the house. Thanks to God, there is a spiritual attack on the children of God. I want to repeat that again. There is a spiritual demonic attack on the saints of God all across the country and the world. Why is there a demonic force against the church? Because we're not one. We are not one as we should be. We got family struggle issues. We got interconnected, intertwining issues within ourselves. And you cannot heal nobody if you're not healed in your own self. Amen. Did you remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, Simon, Simon, Satan wants you and desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, I already prayed that your faith fell not. But look what he said here, continuing. He said that after you have been converted and strengthened your brothers. But how can I strengthen my brother when I'm not healed? How can I strengthen my brother when I have not overcame? How can I strengthen my brother when I got my mind set on my own self? How can I strengthen my brother when I don't have, when I got defeatism in my mind? But amen, we are strong in the Lord. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. You fail to realize that Satan is leasing the world, but his lease is almost up. Because, amen, the Lord said he shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain may remain. We shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we be with the Lord. Look what he said in verse number 18 of chapter number 4 of the book of 1 Thessalonians. He said, comfort one another with these words. Time to encourage somebody. Let them know Jesus is coming. It's about to be about our Father's business. It's not about your agenda. It's about helping the people of God. It's about helping those that have need of God's Spirit. It's about those that God released in you the power of deliverance. That you got to go forth in your own mind. And I'm going to share with God. I'm going to share with God. Has been part of me to others, because your vision is not all about you. Your vision is about God working in you and through you for others. I want to repeat that again. The vision that God has given you is not all about you. It's about God working in you and through you for others. That you must have an open mind to say, whatever God is giving me, I'm not going to get rich off of me. I'm going to get rich with the abundance that God has given me. Because why? The spiritual gift that God has given you is priceless. Now, I said the spirit that God has given you is priceless. You can't put a price on gift of prophecy. Now, you can't put a price on the gift of healing. You can't put a price on the gift of apostleship. You can't put a price tag on the gift of a prophet. God has instilled you and empowered you to empower somebody else. I wish you'd get up and say, man, I thank you for the gift you've given me. It's time to get out your corner of the system. It's time to leave your room of doubt. It's time to use the gift that God has given you. time to use the empowerment that God has given you. You've been in church too long. You've been pastoring too long. You've been witnessing too long. You've been intercessory in prayer too long. But God said it's time to increase your faith. It's time to expand your territory. It's time to claim your victory. It's time to work in the spot that God has for you. It's time to get back on the street corners. It's time to pass through a drive-by from the crack house. Yes, it's time to do a drive-by where the gang's on. It's time to do a drive-by and let a man out spewing out the Spirit of God. It's time to give yourself back to God. All right, I got a little caught up here. We're about to get into spiritual gifts. He said, why do we need to talk about spiritual gifts? Because they're not operating. They are not operating.
Come
people
on.
People on drugs are not being delivered. People that's addicted are not being recovered. People that are spiritually bound is found on them. It's time to refute the chain of demonic forces. It's time to release what God has put into your spirit. It's time to preach what God has put in your belly. It's time to recover and uncover what God has put. It's time to bring forth revelation that you are hiding it in your mind. You know the calling on your life. You know what God has told you to do. Why are you reneging? Why are you defeated? Why are you walking in the path that you walked before you got saved? God said, I turned you 180 degrees. God said, stop going back into your circle 360 degrees. He said, I made you who you are. You said, well, I'm heavyweight. Well, God needs a heavyweight to knock out heavyweight. Use your deficiency as an advantage to the devil. Because why? I'm defeated in my mind concerning disability and insecurity and indeficiency. When God begins to use you, not only will the men see that God is using you, you will see that God is using you. Some of your setbacks were a setup for your comeback. I said some of your setbacks were set up for your comeback. Some of you got to say in your mind, I'm going to come back better than ever. Said you might have knocked me out, but I'm coming back up. Stella don't have her groove back. I got my groove back. Because God has renewed me. Look what the Bible said in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verse 1
and 2.
Now beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or worship. But look what he said in verse number 2. He said, be not conformed to the world. I like Philip's translation. He said, in other words, don't let the world squeeze you in their top of their kind of mold.
Confirmation.
He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Then Paul picked it up in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, verse 23. He said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, your spirit of your mind constitutes your attitude and your thoughts. God said, I want you to rearrange your mindset. God said, I want you to get your groove back. If you get your groove back, you'll move back. Did you hear what I said? I said, once you get your groove back, you'll move back. You never lost your spot because you're still where you are. But the Bible said, as a man thinketh, so is he. And I say, as a woman thinketh, so is she. Some of you in the same place with your mind. God said, I want you to get your mind back from where you used to be. I want you to recover what you lost in your mind. You did not lose your mind. You just lost your memory on how God dealt with you. But God said, if you can just look back and retain what he did for you, God will rejuvenate your mind.
You're staying ahead and out, Dr. Singleton.
He said, I'm writing to you, brethren. Not, he said, I write to you Not as though I've already apprehended or already arrived. He said, but I'm going to remind you on this one thing. He said, I'm leaving those things that are behind. And I'm reaching for those things that are in front of me. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high call in Christ Jesus. See, some of us don't have goals. Some of us don't have objectives. Some of us don't know where we're going to be next week. Some of us don't see ourselves in the next few years as being a multi-billionaire. Some of you don't have in your mind to be rich in Christ and in the world. Some of you don't think of yourself as having administration and having ministries and having church. But God said, I want you to put some things in your mind that you can hope for. The Bible says we're saved by hope. But he said, if you see that which you hope for, that's not hope. But he said, if you see that which you don't, you hope for that you don't see, he said, now you have the need of patience to wait for it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But what I want to do before we go to scripture, I want to let you know, I want to talk on a sub-theme that's going to relate to spiritual gifts. I want to talk about today spiritual leadership. I want to talk about spiritual leadership. A while back, God inspired me concerning a spiritual leadership. He said, what is spiritual leadership? Well, first of all, the word spiritual means relating to or consisting of or affecting the spirit or incorporeal, which is an existing through without necessarily having physical regards to the particular thing. In other words, we're talking about things which involve spiritual matters. Spiritual means things which involve spiritual matters. But then the word or the term leadership has a lot to do with influence. So spiritual has to do with involving spiritual matters. And leadership has a lot to do with influence. What I'm saying today is that we talk about influence. We talk about that, which means an individual do not necessarily have to be a pastor. He don't have to be a deacon. He don't have to be or have to be any.
You're breaking up, Dr. Singleton. Can you adjust your phone or your mic? You're breaking up.
Well, somebody's trying to call in to me, and so that's why it's breaking up. You hear me now?
Yeah, you're still breaking up a little bit.
Well, you have to understand we're talking about spiritual gifts today. The enemy's going to try to affect the airwaves.
Okay.
It's a liar.
Thank you, Jesus.
When we talk about spiritual leadership, we're talking about an individual that's dealing with spiritual matters and having the influence without having a particular name tag on them. What they have is the Spirit of God to help other people. So therefore, when I'm talking about spiritual leadership, I'm talking about those that God has equipped to help people in spiritual things. Now, what I would like to do, I would like to make known that my starting off with learning about leadership was that one time I was teaching a class at the Bible College called Pastoral Leadership. But the Lord began to deal with my heart, because I found out that the ones that were taking that course were not called to be pastors yet. So the Lord began to deal with me. And he told me, how can people become pastors if they don't know about spiritual leadership principles? And I said, oh, my God. So then I began to ask the Lord, Lord, show me what you're talking about. And the Lord began to show me and give me the foundational truth concerning a spiritual leadership that will help others to begin to obtain spiritual gifts by God through the Holy Ghost. So this is what came when I came with. I wrote a little something on this. I said, in order to maintain excellence in spiritual leadership in the church, the spiritual gift must be present and in operation. The fivefold gifts that are in Ephesians chapter 4, along with the administrative gift in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, must be manifested if it is to be a continual, effective entity in the kingdom of God. In other words, in order for the spiritual gifts to work, we must have the spiritual mindset of Christ being inside individuals who work to building the body of Christ. So the purpose of my presentation today is to empower, to inspire spiritual leaders who desire to pursue their purpose in God for the kingdom. So by saying that, we're going to turn now to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12, verse starting at verse 1. But what I'm going to do, you that have King James Version, I want you to read along with me in King James, but I'm going to read from the Contemporary English Version. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to read from the Contemporary English Version. But you that are reading, I'm going to start off with reading verses 1 to 7. Now, first of all, let me just say this. When I'm talking about 1 Corinthians, the theme for 1 Corinthians, it means correction of carnal living. Let me repeat that. The theme, or the totality of the essence of written by Paul, was to correct carnal and wicked people. Just because you're saved and you're a born again believer doesn't mean that you're exempt from carnal living. In order for you to have a place in God's will, you must have a mind to live holy. Look what the Bible said in the book of Romans. Just digress it for a moment. The Bible said in chapter number 8 of Romans, now there is thou therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He said, now, the law of the Spirit of Christ in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse number 3 says, what the law could not do, because it was weak in the flesh, but God sending his his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. For sin condemned sin in the flesh, that we may manifest within us the righteousness of the Lord. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And look what he said further on now. He said, now to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He said, for the carnal mind is an enmity against God, and it cannot be subject to God, neither indeed can be. So then, the carnal mind cannot please God. And the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse 6 and 7, he said, for without faith, is it possible to please him? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So therefore, faith of God in order for us to possess spiritual gifts in the house of God, we must refrain from carnal living, because they're all about walking in the Spirit. Now, the theme for Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, is correction of carnal living. But the purpose for Paul writing to this church was to answer questions that the Christian, or that the Corinthian church had concerning of problems regarding abuse in mental, moral, social, and spiritual life. Do you hear me? Do you hear me out there?
Can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Now we're back hearing you. We didn't hear what you said before.
Because it was out for a moment. I said that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians to deal with some problems that had to do with moral, mental, social, and spiritual life. Therefore, he began to make known to them to recognize the leadership of Christ in the solution of the division that's in the body of Christ. There was a lot of bickering going on. There was a lot of confusion going on, because people and groups were trying to get together by letting them saying that I'm greater than you are. See, gifts cannot work when you try to be better than somebody else. We have to come together as a body. We have to come together as a team. We have to come together as a unit to be able to defeat the wiles of the devil. Now, we have to understand something here, that Paul was talking to a group of people who had major problems. Major problems. We're talking about problems that had to deal with sexual immoralities. We had to deal with problems that dealt with unstructured community, unstructured patterns in the church, disorder, not coming together as a unit in the church. We found out that they had a rapid growth of people growing in the church, but they had various problems within themselves. It was so bad, thanks to God and friends, that people was marrying people in their own families. There was incest going on. There was all kind of immoralities going on. There was all types of carnal things going on. But Paul had to correct them and make them to know that God is calling for holiness. He's calling for righteousness. And so therefore he had to instruct them in various ways. But particularly, and when you deal with chapter number 12, he was trying to make them known concerning of things that need to be inserted in the kingdom of God in order to enhance the kingdom of God. And so therefore, do you hear me? Do you hear me out there?
Hello. Yes, we hear you.
Okay, I need to hear a response once in a while because sometimes I might be talking and I might be out.
Okay, I thought Evangelist Bernard. I hear you now. The static is gone.
Very good. Now, when we're talking about chapter number 12, Paul is beginning to instruct others on spiritual gifts. We talk about spiritual leadership concerning about spiritual matters. It's very imperative that you understand that in order to be able to help people spiritually, God has to give you an ability to help in a spiritual matter. I want to repeat that. In order for you to help people spiritually, God must give you a gift or an ability to help others in spiritual matters. Now, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, we're talking about the word gift. In a nutshell, gift means something freely given by one person to another for his benefit or pleasure. Let me repeat that. When a gift is given to you, it's something freely given by one person to another for his benefit or pleasures. In other words, God, through the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost, has given freely gifts unto people that you may benefit him, that Christ may be glorified, not you, because your vision and your gifts are not all about you. It's about God working in you and through you for others. Let me say that again. What God has given you is not all about you. It's about God working in you and through you for others. So God, through the Holy Ghost, freely has given you an ability, a spiritual ability, because you cannot deal with spiritual matters in a fleshly state. You must deal with spiritual things with spirit. You must deal with demonic forces, with demonic agencies against demonic forces. You cannot use your MBA. You can't use your degree of an MBA in business to help spiritual matters of administration in the church. Yes, your degrees can help in structure, but it's going to take the spirit to determine how the pattern of structure that God wants you to mandate in your church or in your ministry. Because your spiritual aptitude will outdo your natural aptitude. But if they both work together for the benefit of Christ, then you're that much more effective. So I do say and support you getting your degree. I do support and you getting higher education. Yes, you do need today to be certified, amplified, qualified. But look what Jesus said, or look what Paul said in the book of Ephesians. He said that Christ led captivity captive and gave not degrees unto men, he gave gifts unto men. Why did he give those gifts, elder? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying and building up of the body of Christ. Till we that's in the body of Christ all come together in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. God has given you a gift, apostle. God has given you a gift, prophet. God has given you a gift, evangelist. God has given you a gift, pastor and teacher, not just to put on your marquee of your church, but he's given you a gift to help me. I should not have to go to the psychiatrist of the world, but I should be able to go to a psychiatrist that has been certified by the world, but justified by Christ in the gift. Yes, I want to go to a psychiatrist that's born again, because not only you can tell me about my mind and my life, you can tell me about my spirit that's driving me to what I'm doing. You can discern about why I'm doing what I'm doing. You can take me to another level in Christ through the Holy Spirit. You can lay hands on me and heal my body. You can speak a word of prophecy in my life. You can help me with the gift of health while I'm in your office. So you can utilize your degree and your classes that you learned in school, but you also can empower me with the gift that God has given you. Can the church say amen? So I'm telling you today, get
amen.
Your education. Get your degree. Get your certification. But get the Holy Spirit, who is the agency of your gifts. If you get the Holy Spirit and have discernment along with your psychology gift and your psychiatry gift and your counseling gift, you can be able to help me fully. You can empower my total man, because not only you can help me with theory, but you can also help me with spirituality. How? You can be able to help me in the spiritual aspect, and you can be able to help me in the natural aspect. And the total man can be able to be equipped. I'm going to read chapter number 12 of 1 Corinthians by using, I'm going to go through the contemporary English version, but you can still read with me from the King James. The reason why I'm reading from the contemporary, because those out there that don't understand sometimes the lingo and the language and the linguistics of King James, thou, those, thee, and thus, you can be able to get at least an idea of what Paul was saying in the contemporary language. Okay, this is what he's saying in chapter number 12 of 1 Corinthians, by the way, of the contemporary English version. He says, my friend, verse number one, my friend, you asked me about spiritual gifts. My friend, you asked me about spiritual gifts. That's the reason why I'm about to tell you, because I don't want you to be ignorant, because you asked me a question, and I want to answer you to give you knowledge for why you need them. So verse number one says, my friend, you asked me about spiritual gifts. Verse number two, I want you to remember that before you became followers of the Lord, you were led in all the wrong ways by idols that cannot even talk. King James referred to the old dumb idols that you were led by. Let me repeat two again. I want you to remember that before you became followers of the Lord, you were led in all the wrong ways by idols that cannot even talk. Verse number three. Now I want you to know that you are led by God's Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You will say that Jesus is Lord, and you will never curse him. In other words, the Bible said when the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Comforter, has come, it will testify of Jesus Christ. When you got the Holy Ghost, your Spirit will let you to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. When you got the Holy Ghost, you will not speak against Christ. When you got the Holy Ghost, you will say amen to Christ. When you got the Holy Ghost, you know that Christ is alive and well in you. So he said in verse number three, now I want you to know that if you are led by God's Spirit, you will say that Jesus is Lord and you will never curse him. Number four, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. Let me read that again. Number four said, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts or spiritual abilities, but they all come from the same Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, again, but they all come from the same Spirit. Verse number five, there are different ways to serve the same Lord. Number six, and we can each do different things, yet the same God works in all of us and helps us in everything we do. Verse number seven, the Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. Let me read that again. Verse number seven says, the Spirit has given each of us a special way of serving others. So the King James says, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So God has given you a spirit and spiritual innate ability to be able to benefit for the excellency of Christ, that others can be helped in the body. And he didn't give you the gift to make money by. But God will take care of those that are in service. But God don't want you to put a price tag on your giving. But if you freely give your gift to men, God will speak to men's hearts to freely give to you what they have. Because why? Money don't come from heaven. Money comes from the earth. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell in the earth belongs to God. Then the angel went and told Isaiah in chapter number 6 of Isaiah that the whole earth is full of his glory. Don't you worry about no money, honey. Don't you worry about living expenses. When you do God's work, God will take care of you. When you utilize the gift that God has given you, God will make sure he sets you up and bless you accordingly. But let's go on now. I'm going to read from the King James. Verse number 8 on. He says in verse number 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, he says, "For one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." You can't come to me. If God gave you a word of wisdom, and some of you, God has given a word of knowledge, you don't supposed to conflict with one another. When God has given you a spirit of wisdom and another he gave a spirit of knowledge, you should be talking on the same wavelength. There should not be confusion in the house. There should not be division and finding out what's going on, because the Bible said that God is not the author of confusion. And God's spirit dwell in both gifts. If you speak in a word of wisdom and word of knowledge, even though you're in a different administration or a different gift, you still have the same spirit to bring unity in the house. So he said here, to one is given the spirit of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same spirit. Number 9, to another the gift of faith by the same spirit. To another the gift of healing by the same spirit. Number 10, to another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of gifts or gifts of tongues or languages. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the same self-spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As I said before, God has given us gifts freely, we may benefit his pleasure. The Bible says that God's purpose is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Hallelujah.
God wants all of us to be saved.
Whether
you're Presbyterian, whether you're Lutheran, whether you're Catholic, whether you're Baptist, anti-Baptist, whether you're Episcopalian, whether you're Anglican, whatever denomination you're part of, whether you're Church of God in Christ, whether you UPC, United Pentecostals, no matter if you're Kojic, no matter if you're Church of Our Lord Jesus Christ, no matter you're PAW, no matter you're PCFAF, no matter you're True Churches, whatever denomination you are, the purpose of your gift is that all come unto repentance and be saved. The reason why God gave you that gift, that you work with me and I work with you and we work with each other and we work with everyone that has something, that the unification of God comes by the way of not of denomination, but sanctification, glorification, justification, to set ourselves apart, meet for the master's use. But some of you, dealing with verse number 8 to verse number 11, but you forgot there's more spiritual gifts in the house.
Mm.
When you turn to verse number 28 of chapter number 12 of 1 Corinthians 8 in the King James, he says, and God has sent some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, help, administration or government, and diversity of gifts. Are all apostles?
Hell no.
You see what the world say? The world say hell no, but I'm saying heaven no.
Heaven no.
Are all prophets? Heaven no. Are all teachers? Heaven no. Are all workers of miracles? Let me hear you say, heaven no.
Heaven no.
Have all the gifts? Have everybody got the gift of healing? Heaven no. Do all speak with tongues? Heaven no. I'm talking about the gift of tongues now. Do all interpret of tongues? Heaven no. Why is that? Because the Bible said in the book of Ephesians that Christ led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, not all. He gave some prophets, not all. He gave some evangelists, not all. He gave some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He gave some. Everybody not an apostle. Everybody cannot prophesy. Everybody cannot heal according to the gift. But look what the Bible says. Jesus told his disciples in the book of Mark, chapter number 16, verse 15, he said, amen, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or creation. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned, can be condemned or damned. Well, look what he said here. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. The believers have signs, not necessarily the gift. He said, what sign do you have, believers? Look what he said. I'm going to moan this. He said, in my name shall you cast out devils, and in my name ye shall speak with new tongues. And then he went on and said, in my name you can lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So I don't need no gift to heal somebody. I don't need no gift to cast out devils. And I don't need no gift to do other things. But I do need a spiritual gift to help the church, to further them in the productivity of the work of Christ. But some of you are lacking the ability to set goals for yourself in the spirit. God has set in the church gifts of helps. He has set in the church administration. He has set these gifts. Now, that gift of administration has nothing to do with your MBA. Your degree in counseling has nothing to do with the gift of administration. When you have the gift of administration, you can run a church. Hallelujah. When you got a gift of God, you can run your Christian education. I don't need no doctor PhD to run the house of God with Christian education, but I need the gift. I need the gift of administration to run the household of God. I don't need to get a degree in social services in the body of Christ. All I need is a gift of helps.
Come
and
on,
I got a degree
Jesus.
In the body of Christ. I don't
you
need to get a degree in social work. I need the gift of helps. I need the gift of healing. I don't need to go to a physician if I got the gift of healing. I can lay hands on people and they heal from AIDS, heal from syphilis, from gonorrhea, and then I can go ahead and strike you upside the head, and you can be out from addiction, sex addiction, drug addictions. You that got dementia, I don't need to take medication if I got the gift of healing. God can heal you right away, but I need the gift. Hallelujah. Lord, give me a gift to heal my neighborhood. Give me a gift to heal my colleagues. Lord, give me what I need to show forth your glory on earth. He didn't bring me this far to leave me, and he did not make me to swim and let me drown. God has called me for such a time as this, but you've got to open up your mouth and say, Lord, I need a gift. Lord, I need a gift to help your people. Lord, I need a gift to build your kingdom. Lord, I need a gift to help your administration. Lord, I need a gift to help the body of Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
If Jesus Christ gave me a gift to be an apostle, I don't need somebody to ordain me as apostle. I can go forth in missionary work and build the churches for what Christ told me to do. Because apostle means in the Greek, apostle means those that were sent. If Jesus sent you, then go on. Go on with your bad self if the Lord sent you. You don't need to tell me who you are. You just go forth. I'll tell you you're an apostle. Because if you got an apostleship in you, of God in you, you will go out. God will drive you in the continent. God will drive you among people and cause you to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Glory.
The prophets of the apostles, Jesus Christ being a chief cornerstone, and after you have converted them, and after you have nurtured them, and after you have developed them, and after you have harnessed them, then they become pastors. Then you ordain them, and then you set them up to start new churches, and then you begin to write manuscripts to them. Then you begin to write literature to them, and publish them throughout the world, and build the churches of Jesus Christ, apostles.
My God.
You said you're a prophet. Well, you're a prophet, that means you're a spokesman of Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait till the Spirit to come in. You got the gift. When God speaks to your mind, you open up your mouth in the church. You open up your mouth in the field. You open up your mouth in the schoolroom. You open up your mouth on the canvas. You open up your mouth in the crack house and say, thus says the Lord God. The Lord said, clean up your act. And you begin to prophesy what God told you according to the apostles' doctrine. You that are evangelists, you need to leave your pulpits and try nice to preach. Get on out there with your bad self and begin to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard Paul said in the book, amen, of Romans chapter number 1, verse 16, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. He said, amen, unto the Jew first, and then to the non-Jew or the Greek. He said, therein, as the righteousness of God, it's revealed from faith to faith. For it is written that the just shall live by faith. And honey, if you're going to live by faith, you got to move up, honey. Yeah, I know you quote the scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, or chapter number 11, verse 6 and 7, says, for without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is rewarded in the diligence that he seeks him. But he said, from faith to faith, that means you got to move on now and speak what James said. He said, what profit a man to say he have faith and not works? Do faith save
him? Come on.
And he went on to say, he said, show me, amen, your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. He said, as the body is dead without the spirit, so is faith without works is dead. But look, the Bible said that without the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. But then Apostle Peter picked it up in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 5 through 7. He said, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to your virtue knowledge, add to your knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, add to patience godliness, add to brotherly godliness brotherly kindness, and add to brotherly kindness charity. He said in verse number 7, if you have these things and they abound, he said, you'll be so that you will not be unfruitful concerning the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But look what he said in verse number 8. I'm getting excited at this moment. He said, look what he said in verse number 8 of chapter number 1 of 2 Peter. He said, he that lack these things are blind and cannot see afar off. And he has and she has forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. But look what he said in the latter clause of verse number 10 of chapter number 1 of 2 Peter. He said, he that do these things that you obtained in verse number 5 to verse number 7, he said, you and I will never fall. The gifts will flow freely. God will use you as an instrument of praise. God will use you as an instrument of his will. When you begin to add to your faith, God will increase you, and he will bless you, and he will make you a bona fide and an individual that's reckoned with in the kingdom of God. Then you said you need God to please him. You need faith to please God in Hebrews. You need faith with works in James and 2 Peter. But then Paul picks it up in chapter number 13 of the book of 1 Corinthians. He said you can have the tongue of men and of angels. You can understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and have all faith. Well, you can tell the mountains to be removed. He said, but if you don't have charity, oh, Lord, he said, you're like a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. Then he said you can give your body to be burned and you can give to the poor. But if you don't have charity, it profits you nothing. So therefore, to increase from faith to faith regarding spiritual gifts, first of all, you need faith to please God. Then you need faith with works. Then you need faith with works in love. Paul in chapter number 12 talked about spiritual gifts, which we went over. He have you not ignorant to understand about spiritual gifts. But in chapter number 13, the totality of that chapter is that you can have the gift that you obtained from chapter number 12. But without love, it means nothing. Let me repeat that again. Chapter number 13 says you can receive the gift that you learned about in chapter number 12. But if you don't apply love to your gift that you retained in chapter number 12, it has no effect on humanity and the body of Christ. But then chapter number 14 says, he said, follow after charity.
Follow
and higher spiritual gift. But look what he said now. He said that now you would now that you use the component or the gift that makes the body prosper. Prophecy. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you something that you have to have the gift. He says here, I'm going to paraphrase what I'm saying. Chapter number 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1 says, love should be your guide. Be eager to have the gifts that come from the Holy Ghost. But he says, especially the gift of prophecy.
My God.
Let me read that again. I'm going to read it in the Contemporary English Version, and I'm going to go back to King James. It's very important you understand the things of God. He said now, this is the Contemporary Version of chapter number 14, verse 1. He said, love should be your guide.
Love should be your guide. My God.
Be eager to have the gift that comes from the Holy Ghost. But look what he said. Especially the gift of prophecy. Now, this is what King James says. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Why was that gift so important? Because we're talking about Paul writing to a church that was full of carnality, full of self-centeredness, full of corruption and individuality.
Full of corruption.
You cannot be a body of Christ if you're individual. We must come together corporately. Some of you lift up offerings in your church corporately. Some of you give your tithes corporately. But now it's time to come together in the body of Christ corporately. If you got the gift of being an apostle and I got the gift of being a prophet, why are we bickering?
Come on.
If God give you the gift of being a pastor and God give you the gift of help, why are you going against me?
Jesus.
You're supposed to work with me. I'm supposed to work with you.
Come on, you're teaching today.
In other words, we need to have intimacy. Intimacy. We are into the body of Christ. There must be correlation.
Teaching today.
look what he said here. Follow after charity, chapter number 14, verse 1. And desire spiritual gifts. But the gift that makes sense for us to come together is the gift of prophecy.
My God.
Look what he says here. Verse number 2. For he that speaketh an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God.
My God.
No man understand him. When you say, I can't understand you.
My Jesus.
When you say, I still can't understand you. When you say, and coming in on a Honda, I don't know what you're saying. He said here, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For
unto
no
God.
Man understand him.
Jesus.
In the spirit, he speaketh mysteries.
Nah.
He speaketh revelations. When you're speaking in
Come
tongues,
on.
You're speaking edification for yourself. The Bible said, building up your most holy faith. Praise in the Holy Ghost. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're edifying you. But when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, I get nothing out of it. I understand you got the Holy Ghost, but I don't understand what you're saying to me. But I'm praying for God to give me the gift of prophecy so I can understand what you're saying. It is a gift to speak for me.
All right.
Look what he says here, verse number 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification. And exhortation and comfort. And I got the gift of prophecy, I'll say, in other words, saints of God, the Lord is telling you to get yourself right. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Now the body's being edified. Or when you say, I tie my bow tie and tie your bow tie, he'll say, thus said the Lord, if you continue in my ways, I will bless your ministry. See,
Come
that's
on.
Where I can understand. But I need prophecy to help me out. I need the gift to help the body, not just you, honey. I need some help, too. Someone needs to touch your neighbor next to you and say, neighbor, I need your help.
Neighbor, I need your help.
Oh, Lord, I need you. You need me. We need one another. One can chase a thousand. Two can put 10,000 to the fight. He said, if any two or three gather together in my name, I'll be in the midst. Amen. He said, confess both one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man of Elimelech. It's time to come together. It's time to get the things right together. It's time to help me, honey. Let me get back to this. So
Jesus.
He said here, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men. Now let me go back here. Number two, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. When you're speaking in tongues, you're not talking to me. When you're prophesying, now you're talking to me. Don't get it. When you're speaking, you're not talking to me. You're not edifying me. You're not building me up. You're not giving me instructions. You're not giving me latitude. You're not causing me to have gratitude. You're not causing me to change. When you speak in tongues, you're going to continue to be an addict. But when you prophesy to me, I can get off the drugs. I can leave the sex alone. I can leave homosexuality. Because you're telling me what thus said the Lord. Say yes.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I'm talking to somebody out there.
Yes, Lord.
Now look what he says here, number 5. He number 4. He said, he that speaketh in an unknown language edifieth himself.
Himself.
Well, you edifying you, honey. But it ain't doing nothing for me. I'm happy you got the Holy Spirit. But what are you doing? What have you done for me lately? See, Daddy Justin said that. What have you done for me lately?
My God.
God saying, what have you done for me lately? And I'm asking you, with your gift as an apostle, what have you
Come
done for
back.
Me lately? You prophets, what have you done for me lately? Evangelists, what have you done for me lately? Pastors and teachers, what have you done for me lately in the Lord? Have you healed me? Have you delivered me?
Come on.
Have you fortified me? Have you instructed me in the right way? Have you given me sanctification, glorification? Give me the wisdom that God's given you? Why are you holding back and putting a price tag on? In order for you to understand, you need to give me $15. Loose here and be bound. Because the Lord said, he that the Son set free is free me. Honey, if you don't prophesy to me, I'm going to ask God. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to every man freely and afraid of not. He said, but let that man ask in faith, doubting nothing. Hold back your gift from me. God going to give me somebody. Tell yourself, some God's gonna give somebody in my way.
Yes, God gonna give.
I heard the song say, "Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes. Oh, so much trouble.
Hallelujah.
I have to cry sometimes. Yes, I lay awake at night, but that's all right. I know that Jesus,
my
He will.
All right. Hallelujah.
I stepped in the furnace. In the furnace. A long time ago. Shadrach and Meshach. Now, somebody get in their mind. And a big Negro, he didn't say that. He said, and Abednego. You know what? They wasn't worried.
Go ahead, Dr. Susan.
Oh, yeah. I know that Jesus, he will fix. After a while. What I'm talking about. God said, if you don't unleash your gift on me, he will send somebody my way. But you that are speaking in unknown tongues, you cannot edify me. You cannot build me up. He said, ta, 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 ta. That's for you, honey. He said, that's for you, honey. He said, you're not speaking to men. You're speaking to God, you're speaking in mysteries, and you're edifying yourself. Let me read verse number 4 again for you that just coming on. That's verse number 3.
Glory.
Verse number 4, I'm sorry. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
Edifieth the church.
When you get the gift of prophecy, God will cause you to edify the church. Prophet,
my God.
Start edifying me. Don't tear me down. Prophesy to edify me. Speak a word of life into my ministry. Speak a word of life into my life. Speak a word of life into my calling. Speak a word of life. He said, my word is spirit and my word is life. He said, my word is like a lamp into my feet and a light into my pathway. He said, the word is sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword. He said, it goes through all my bones. And he said, it's full of thunder, the soul and the spirit. It goes into the intents of my heart. When you prophesy like you're supposed to, I am not the same. Whether it's on the phone, whether it's on the airwaves, whether it's in the church house, whether it's on the bus stop, whether it's on the train, plane, automobile. When God has given you the prophecy, you can speak into my life, and I will be a changed man. I will be a changed woman. But you got to use the gift.
I'm almost finished.
Look what Paul said in verse number 5 of chapter number 14. I would that all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy.
Prophesy.
I want you all to speak in tongues, and that's the evidence that you got it. But I'm not glorying in your speaking in tongues, because it's all about you when you speak in tongues. But I rather for you to prophesy so you can edify me. You can edify you. You can edify us. You can edify the body. You can edify Christ in the church. I would that all speak with tongues,
come
but
on.
Rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues.
He interpreted
that the church may receive edifying. I want you to speak in tongues. Say it. But I want a word from the Lord after you speak.
Right.
I want you to have a message after your tongues. I want to know that God is not only dealing with you, but he's dealing with me. I don't only want to know that he's going to prosper you. I want to know that he's going to prosper me. Build up my hope. Build up my confidence. Build up my intentions. Build it up. But I have
my
to know
God.
That you speak to me and not to yourself.
Jesus.
He said in verse number 5, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather it pleased me more, it makes me more excited, animated, motivated, stimulated, that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than that he speaketh with tongues, except that the person that's speaking in tongues interpret what he just spoke. That the church may receive edifying. Verse number 6. He says, now, brother, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? If I come to you, what is it doing for me? What am I getting out of it? I'm not getting nothing out of it. Because what? You're speaking to God. You're edifying yourself through God. You're speaking in mystery, but I have no inkling what I'm supposed to do. Let me read it again. Brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I should speak to you either by revelation or by mystery or by knowledge or by prophesying. Or by doctrine. Number 7. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction of the sound, how shall it be known what is a pipe or harp?
My God.
Or if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle. In other words, if I'm speaking in a particular language, a particular cadence, how do I know what you're saying to me if I can't interpret what you're saying? I know the difference between a horn, a trumpet, and a saxophone. I know the difference between a harmonica. But when it comes to the body of Christ, I don't know who's who. God said it's time to let the gifts work so I can know who's who. It's time to know who is who in your church. Let me repeat that. It's time to know who is who in your church. The Bible said, know them that live among you. I'm tired of strangers telling me who they are. I need to know through the Spirit who you are. Because why? Satan has transformed himself as an angel of light.
As an angel of light.
His apostles. Now, I'm going to have mercy. Satan has made his apostles ministers. How can I know Satan is an apostle? Satan apostles in my church if I don't have the gift of discernment? Ow! How can I know that witch is in my church if I don't have the spirit of discernment?
Hallelujah!
How do I not know that someone is praying in tongues to the devil unless I can interpret tongues? Ow! How can I edify the body without a gift? Paul is telling you, I want you to desire a spiritual gift, and I want you to learn how to love to get that gift. But I'd rather for you to prophesy to benefit the body. Stop being so selfish. Stop being so selfish. This is my gift. No, it ain't, honey. God gave it, and he can take it away.
My.
Look what the Bible said in the book of 1 Samuel. The Bible said that, amen, Samuel poured a horn of oil over David. The Bible said that the Spirit was upon David from that time forward. But look at the next verse. The Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul. God, I put an evil spirit on you, honey. God, I put a spirit of delusion to make you believe a lie if you don't give God what he wants. The Bible said in the book of Romans, in my closing, the Bible said in the book of Romans, he said, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they faithful, but became foolish in their imagination, and their foolish hearts, they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts became darkened. And the Bible said for that, he gave them over to uncleanness. And then later on after that, he kept on doing it. Then I gave them over to foul infections. And then God got messed up with you. He said, before they did not like to retain them in his knowledge, he said, God gave you over to a reprobate mind and filled you up with all unrighteousness. And then he went on to say, you that inhabit those things, he said, you're worthy of death. Not only for those that have it, but those that have pleasure in them doing it. God told me to tell you right now, you better get those demons out of your church, because you tell the Lord, I'm enjoying what they're doing. If they're deceiving the folk, I don't give a care if they can play the piano. I don't give a care that God can raise up a piano player in your church. God can raise up a drum player. God can raise up a saxophone player. God can raise up a praise leader. God can raise up praise dancers in your church. You don't need to have someone that has liberal arts or have a theater arts to come to your church. God will raise up that person and give them that gift and give them that enthusiasm and give you a new dance. Stella, you can get your groove back. Stella, you can move
Hallelujah.
For God. Clear your mind and dance for me and stop dancing for the world. Yes, it's time to clean up. In my closing, chapter number 12 says, of the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter number 12 says, amen, I don't leave you ignorant concerning of spiritual gifts that you can obtain. You can obtain the gifts of the body. You can obtain prophecy. You can obtain, amen, word of wisdom and word of knowledge. And you can retain the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues and the gift of discernment. Yes. But the Lord said in verse number 28 of chapter 12, he said, God set in the church, amen, he set apostles and prophets, amen, and he has set teachers in there. But he also set healings and administrations and governments. He also has set interpretation of tongues. But I want to let you know, that's in chapter number 12. But in chapter number 13, he said you can obtain the gifts that you received in chapter number 12. But he said if you obtain the gifts in chapter number 12, he said if you don't obtain love in 13, he said your gift means nothing. You can prophesy without love and don't help nobody. You can prophesy with help. You can bring help to your church. But if you don't have hospitality, your gift won't mean nothing. If you don't have love, your interpretation means nothing. If you don't have love, your interpretation of help means nothing. If you don't have love, you can't only fulfill God's will. Without love, the world won't come in. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him in love should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus went on to say it. He said, amen, a new commandment I leave unto you, that ye shall love. I said, ye shall love. Amen, one another. As I have also loved you, by this love, all men may know that you are my disciples. If you don't love, you don't belong to Christ. If you don't love, you don't belong to God. If you don't love, your gift won't work. So in chapter 13, he said you can attain a gift, chapter number 12, but you need to add love to the picture. But then he went on to chapter number 14 in my closing, and he said you can obtain love and desire a spiritual gift, but if you want to edify the body, you need to have a gift to prophesy. You got to think about your brother. Stop thinking about wealth for yourself. Think about wealth, share the wealth. And said, because you got rich, I'm going to make you rich. Because you're successful, I'm successful, I'm going to make you successful. I'm healed, therefore you will be healed. I'm delivered from a I'm going to pray that God remove addiction from you. I got to put off of homosexuality. I'm going to pray that the Lord remove homosexuality. I got a mega ministry. I'm going to help you make your ministry mega. I'm rich in my account. I'm going to slip some money in your account. Yes, my connections. I'm going to give you some connections. Yes. I got abundance. I'm going to give you abundance. Share the blessings. Share the gifts.
Share the blessings.
Share
the gifts.
Let somebody else have what you got.
Share
it.
My.
You've been multi-millionaire, then help bring enrichment. Help. New destiny. Help. I want to say this name. Help disability and entanglement ministry. Help greater life ministry. Help shield of faith. If you're so rich, then help me. God gave you riches to help somebody. Why don't you help somebody with your gift? Stop being so selfish with your gift. Because when you're selfish with your gift, you're not edifying me. You're not amplifying me. You're not exalting me. You're not bringing me with you. And he said, look what the Lord said. He said, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God and the dead. I said, the dead in Christ. They'll rise first, but we that are alive and remain, we ain't going to stay on the earth. We shall go up with them. Together we stand. Divided we fall. We're going to be together, and that's when all of the Lord is all. Jesus said, now I want you to comfort one another. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ that we may receive the rewards of the deeds that we did in our body, whether it be good or bad. But what gift that God has given you, begin to use it
for the glory of God.
Preachers.
The enemy didn't want this message taught today. Glory to God.
He dropped.
Okay.
He dropped.
I
don't
could have went. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, I tell you, we have been fed today. We have been fed manna from on high. I encourage each and every one of you all to go back and listen, download this message, and it certainly will bless you spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally. Amen, amen. Sister Ruby, I see Minister Aaron on the line. Hallelujah. I don't know the other ones. I did see him earlier. Is he still on the line? He's going to open up the lines. I tell you, it's nothing else we can do after a powerful word like that.
He came back on. Minister Aaron, your line is open.
Yeah.
Your line is open.
God bless you, Minister Aaron.
Praise the Lord,
Minister
everybody.
Aaron Singleton. This is the first cousin to Dr. Singleton out of Lansing, Michigan. So good to have you with us today.
Glad to be on here, too. It's a blessing what he was saying, and all, because we got that around. But God is really using, you know, these last and even days. You got to tell it like it is. Keep up the good work. It's just time for that, you know, and with false prophets on the scene. And it's just so sad when you start preaching the truth. You got some was called and some went. And a lot of them that went, it's really blessing themselves because they're looking out for themselves. Like Dr. Winston was talking about, you got a lot of them trying to look out for themselves. God deals with timing. A lot of times, trying to get up with the timing. It's like to say, God is taking too long, you know what I'm saying, for me to move. So I'm going to go ahead and go. And that's how, you know, a lot of times people's moving in that area. But then you got someone's called. The ones that's called is suffering. Because we, the ones that's called, like he's doing now, bringing it out, the message. This has been out. I mean, God ain't doing no new thing. We doing a new thing. God been like this for years. It's been like that from the start. But we are the ones doing the new thing in our lives. And what Dr. Winston Singleton was talking about, telling the truth, because that's what we need now. It's time to stop being a false prophet. If you're not called in that area, ain't no sense in you getting in that area. But you got a lot of that's not called in that area, the prophecy and
my God, my God, my God.
Apostles and all that. They ain't called in that area. So they go and they try to flow into that area right away. And what he talks about is times and why we can't get along. He's telling the truth on that, you know, try to steer it, is it of God? And he's doing a powerful thing, cousin Adrian, for your broadcast to win souls in the kingdom. We're not playing church. We being real. We talking. This is the. It just. We ain't. God. This is the thing God is doing with us. And I'm finna let somebody else talk. This is what God is doing right now. He's setting up. You know, when folks say God is doing a new thing. Yes, he's doing a new thing now. And I'm talking with the real, true Christian that's really preaching the truth and living right and doing the right thing. This is what he's doing right now. He's bringing us out at the time, at this last and evil day, to get these false prophets in line. If you say you called by God, why we have a problem with each other?
Mm.
Trying to say that's not of God. That is of God. Because it's just right. Love the Lord. But what cousin was saying, he was, oh my goodness, just he was annoying. All I can just say is get yourself together for these last and evil days, because time is right. And if you can't get right, you got to get right before you do right. Ain't no sense to try to get right. You ain't right. Ain't no sense to plant with folks of mine. If you going to sow a seed, you know, you don't want to sow a seed on bad grounds. You want to sow a seed on good grounds. And a lot of times folks are sowing seed on the wrong ground, thinking that's a problem. And then it don't come to pass in the future. God is not gimme. We are gimme. That's all I'm just saying. That was just powerful.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Singleton. We certainly bless God. For, I tell you, that word today was rich. I don't know if Dr. Singleton has made it back on the line. I know you still have a few callers on the line. I mean, it's nothing else you can say. The man here, he taught this lesson today.
Oh.
He taught it, he preached it, and did it all under the anointing of God. So, Sister Ruby, who else is on the line? I know we've had many callers on the line today. Some have came on and dropped off, so we've had a lot of callers listening to the message and the word of God today. So we bless the Lord for that. Who else is on the line, Sister Ruby?
We have an unknown number, but Dr. Singleton is back on the line. Area code 21.
He's back. We'll go back to him after we hear from our callers for the final comment.
Calling their name. Okay. So now that is 214-7831. Your line is open.
I think that's Dawn.
Oh, is it? Okay, then. She's not answering, so I'll go to Sister T. Been on. Sister T. Praise the Lord.
Did you say you had an unknown number? Can you go to that one?
That's the one I called. I didn't know it was Dawn. 214.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm going to Sister T. Sister T?
Praise the Lord. It's always a blessing to hear Dr. Singleton on the line. I just thank God for the word that came forth. It's always edifying to the body of Christ, and I just thank God for what he's doing. I know he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or ever think. So I just hear the message. It's time to get our houses in order. I've asked us to do. So just please continue to pray my strength to the Lord that I continue to be the daughter that he called me to be.
Amen.
Thank God for
this
ministry.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, I just praise
God. Jesus. Glory to God.
Okay, praise the Lord. Sister your line is open. Sister Earlene?
Sister Eileen?
Oh, Eileen. Okay, maybe she's just not there for. I'll
Hello.
Come back. Hello?
Hi.
Oh, praise
God
Lord.
God bless you.
Your line is open.
Oh, God bless you, guys. Awesome teaching this evening. Thank you.
We can't hear you, Sister Eileen.
Oh, no, I just said God bless you. It was an awesome word.
Yeah, these airwaves, these phone lines have been a little crazy today, so some of you all are fading in and out, so it's not you all. It's just the enemy didn't want this message to go forward. That's first and foremost.
Yeah, I can hear her. Praise the Lord, Sister Arlene, earlier.
God bless you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Liberal Democrat, praise the Lord. Your line is open.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Amen. God bless the man of God. Yeah, the message was going in and out, but we heard that. We was back
crazy.
In the man of God. With his we had your back, man of God. Amen. The devil lost this one, because that word came through. Amen. The Bible says something about, like, because of the anointing, the yoke is destroyed. So when you hear a word and it got the anointing, it's different from just hearing a word and it's just preaching. But when you hear preaching with anointing behind it, yokes are getting destroyed and the devil was getting mad. So amen to God. So I just praise God. Amen. I felt that thing. I felt like revival. Amen. So praise God for the man of God. And we pray that there be no more backlash, no retaliation, and that God will continue to cover the man of God, his family, and his line. So God bless everybody.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for you, Liberal Democrat. Is it anybody else, Sister Ruby?
Oh, I think that's everybody that I got.
Amen, amen. Well, we're going to go back to Bishop Singleton. Well, he's a bishop too. Dr. Singleton, I tell you, that word was rich. Let's hear from Sister Ruby, and then we'll go back to Dr. Singleton.
All I can say is he preached the word. You know, the more and more he get on, the more and more the Lord anoints him higher. Like Liberal Democrats say, it's not with the word so much. You got to have the anointing with it. So it's been a word. So thank you so much for being obedient to the Jesus Christ. Back to you.
Thank
man.
You.
Amen, amen. We're just so thankful to have Dr. Singleton. It was last minute, but he always is willing, and whenever he have some time on his hand where he's able to minister the word, he'll go anywhere and preach this word. Amen. We thank God for Minister Aaron Singleton, his cousin, joining us today. And he also a man of God that loves God's people. I tell you, Aaron, a witness, he'll witness anywhere. He don't care. He gonna tell somebody about Jesus. So, Dr. Singleton, I tell you, this is going on as one of your classics. You know, every time you minister, it's a classic, because guess what? The word is rich and it's in you, and God has given you a gift to preach and to teach and to just open up our understanding. It just, I'm always in awe when I hear you, because I receive that it's of God. It's not of you. It's not of Winston. It's not of Webby. It's not of Dr. Singleton. All of the degrees and all that. If God hadn't anointed you to preach and to teach the way that you do, you could not do it on your own. Amen. That is the gift that comes from God. So we're going to give it back to you, and I want you to know this ministry appreciates you, and I myself, I know I'm family, and sometimes family is the last ones to give you any props. Hallelujah, but I thank God for this young man. He has been a mentor. He has been a friend. He has been a confidant. He has been a man of God that I highly respect. And I love him, and I appreciate the God in him. Dr. Singleton, glory to God.
Thank you. I know my phone cut off towards the end there, but I was saying that we should all have things in common. And some of you out there, if you're multimillionaires and God has given you a gift of administration and you are progressing there, we're telling you to sow into these ministries.
Yes.
Sow into great enrichment. Sow into new destiny. Sow into disability and entanglement and all these other ministries. Sow into these ministries, because I'm going to tell you something. When I become the multi-billionaire that God's going to bless me, I'm going to be sowing into your ministry. But the thing is, the gift that the body of Christ has to progress on. The only way the body of Christ can continue to thrive is the spiritual gifts must be in function and in operation. The world got their system, but the church has their system, but it's based upon the gifts. The fivefold gifts that are in Ephesians chapter number 4, the giftings that's in 1 Corinthians, the first part and then the latter part, there's gifts that's in the body that we can obtain. Ordinary people can obtain extraordinary gifts. Let me repeat that. Ordinary people, can obtain extraordinary gifts.
Can obtain extraordinary. I got to write that one now. Hold on. Great.
Please write it down because God just gave it to me. So please write it down so I can get it from you. Ordinary people can obtain extraordinary gifts from God. You don't need a degree.
From God.
The Bible said Christ was captivity captive and gave not degrees unto men. He gave gifts unto men. And I got 6 degrees, so trust me. If it was based on degrees, I probably wouldn't be on this broadcast. I'd probably say, you know what, I'm going back to school. Jesus Christ will give you the gift. But you got to seek him for them. Today, seek him. Fast and pray. Lord, I want a gift. Give me an ability to help your people. And I guarantee you God will begin to deal with you. But when he mounts you up, don't you forget about us. When you become a multimillionaire, how dare you keep $1 million back from me? If God gave you millions, why can you throw $1 million into Greater Enrichment Ministry? Why can you throw $2 million into New Destiny? Shame on you. Because when God blessed me and I find out you need help, I'm going to help you because God gave me a gift to help the body. But you got to think about us, not me, but we.
We.
For we know. All things work together for the good. For we know that the trying of our faith work in patience. It's all about us and not about you only. So God, lay on your heart. Don't be afraid sometimes to drop a little coin or two into helping these ministries out. Because the money is the answer to all things, but the love of it is the root of all evil. And if you evil, honey, your gift ain't going to work. He said you can have the tongue of men of angels and understand all mystery and have all knowledge and have all faith but have not charity. Gift means nothing. So God bless you. And hopefully this message was good for you to be able to apply it to you, make it applicable, that you can further on in your faith. New destiny is here to stay, honey. Let me repeat that.
Hallelujah.
And if you want your ministry, if you need a platform to display your ministry, you don't have to go to the Apollo Theater. At the Apollo. No. When you got a spiritual gift and you talk with Minister Adrian and she can put you on and you can help the body of Christ, this ministry is here to cultivate your ministry.
My God.
You have to know that God called you, and Minister Adrian will give you a chance to display it. But you better make sure he calls you, because just like Apollo, if you don't do it, you can rub that wood all you want, honey. If you can't hold no tune, they say boo, and that man with the horns and all that stuff. He comes over with that I forgot what his name is. He'll kick you off the stage. Time for you to display your ministry. Don't be afraid to share your ministry with others. Like I said earlier, if God has blessed you with money and blessed you with finances, then sow into these ministries that you feel like that God will bless. And you will help us, and then in turn, we will make sure your name is spread abroad. Because why?
It's
all about networking, honey. It's all about not what you know, it's who you know. And because of who I know and because of who you know, we can both go together. Let me just say this before I end out. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, verse 42, he said, and they went steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They went from prayer to prayer, house to house, breaking the bread. Now look what he said in verse number 44. He said, all that believed were together and had all
things in common. Yes.
When I got money, you got money. When I got wealth, you got wealth. When I have clothing, you have clothing. When I have addiction, I'm going to help you get off addiction. But look what the Bible said in verse number 47. He said, God added to the church daily. The Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. If you share your gift with us, then the church can grow. the world can see. And churches can be filled up. Churches can be filled up. Ministries can be enhanced because you allow God to use your gift. I want to thank
Lord
you
Jesus.
For allowing me to be a part of today. And I hope the enemy was using it. If you notice, the airway is not going in and out. But when we were talking, it was going in and out because the enemy did not want you to hear what had to be said. But God bless. And I hope and pray that you utilize the gift that God has given you. And you that don't have something to do with God's house, seek God for a spiritual gift.
Mm.
Look in Ephesians chapter number 4 or look in 1 Corinthians chapter number, the first part of that. Read all of 1 Corinthians. You'll find all the spiritual gifts. And then read chapter number 13,
mm-hmm.
apply love to your gift that you obtained from the Lord. And then number 14, apply for the gift with love. But if you really want to love to impact the body of Christ, ask for the gift of prophecy. Thank you very much.
Amen, amen. Well, we thank God for you, Dr. Singleton. Today you have really blessed us today. I just want to let our listeners know that tomorrow Bishop Jesse Grant of Chicago, Illinois, will be bringing the word for us tomorrow, and we'll still be talking about desiring spiritual gifts. Thank God for Minister Aaron. We're going to ask him to close us out with a word of prayer. God bless you, Dr. Singleton, and your cousin is on the line. We're going to ask him to close us out with a word of prayer, and we'll see you back tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sign on early because Bishop Jesse get right on, and he get right on into the word. He does not play. He get right on into what God is saying. So sign on early tomorrow to continue this topic, desiring spiritual gifts. Close us out, Minister Aaron Singleton.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen. Amen.
Dear my Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, let your blessing will bind the devil on both sides, oh God. Thank you for this teaching that they nurse into our bodies, oh God, and give us strength when we get off this line, oh God. Oh Father, we try to reach out to the people, oh God, because we're not playing games. It's all about your glory, God, because without you, we can't do nothing. Shield and protect us from the enemy. Keep your angels all capped around us. Let our day coming in and coming out, watch over us and guide us in the right direction, oh God. Help us. Give us strength in our bodies when we weak, make us strong. Oh God, let this message that my cousin and that was teaching on this line, God, that it can encourage somebody's soul, that somebody, oh God, that can know what we're talking about, that we're not playing with your glory, God. Because it's about the glory, God. It ain't about us. And bless, oh God, my cousin, oh God. Bless her with a broadcast that somebody can throw a smile, powerful speed, oh God, to her, God. Because we're not here playing games. It takes money to move things. We want to be in your will, God.
Help in your will, God.
Strengthen us, oh God. Oh, Father, let
yes,
your will be done. We pray right now. Bless us, Lord, all this week, oh God, if somebody can be healed, oh God, if somebody
healed
can be from the box of the devil in their mind, trapped, oh God. Father, we know you can do all things through Christ to strengthen us. In Jesus' name
yes,
we pray, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Love y'all, everybody.
Amen, amen. You all have a glorious day. Thank you, Sister Ruby. You could take us out with a song or take us on off the air. We're on recording time. So God bless you all. We certainly appreciate you all tuning in. Thank you, Sister Eileen and Liberal Democrat for hanging to the end. Those that endure to the end, they will obtain the crown. God bless you all. Have a great day. Thank you, Dr. Singleton.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. Take me to the King. I don't have much.